Listen to the word of the Lord. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And that was found in Romans 6, verses 4 and following. I want to welcome you to our Easter service in our series of lessons we're doing this year called Believe. We are in chapter 10. And many of you are guests, so I'll just tell you that we're on a 30-week journey together through a topical Bible study called Believe. As we're looking at 30 big ideas in the Bible, 10 beliefs, 10 practices, and 10 virtues. We've been asking questions such as, who is God? Does God care about me? Who am I? What about the poor and injustice in the world? And we've dug deep into the roadmap for life, the Bible. For the answers to these questions and more, we have found our solutions in Scripture. And this week we conclude the first section of our lesson where we are learning to think like Jesus. This is the last of the 10 beliefs. And so as you look on the screen behind me, you will see these words, eternity. I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish His eternal kingdom. This is the 10th belief we are studying this year. Next week, we'll begin with the first of 10 actions to implement as practices of the faith for those who believe. So today, we ask the key question, what happens next? What happens next? I live my life, and then what? What happens after we breathe our last breath on this earth? We ask this question in light of death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ today as we connect it to Easter. So here's the key idea that answers that question. Again, I believe there is a heaven and a hell, that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish His eternal kingdom. Now, unless you are very young, you have encountered death in some form or another in your life. Amen? Some of us have lost loved ones. Some have lost even friends. Some have had near-death experiences themselves. And when these things happen in our lives, it is natural for us to pause, to reflect, to think about our life and our death, to think about what happens next. We think about our mortality. But let's be fair, it's often just a fleeting thought. Often we have the thought and it's gone almost immediately. And the Bible, and in fact, thousands of years of human history has proven one fact. We will all die. We will all either go, according to Scripture, to heaven or to hell. And I can't help but to wonder this Easter where you are in the process of thinking about life after death. I wonder if you've given it your attention much at all. Have you thought about it deeply? You know, I remember when I was younger, some of you are thinking I'm still young, and some of you are thinking, how can he remember that long ago? But when I was younger, I actually thought about life and death fairly frequently. It was a concern for me. And I realized now that I was quick to come up with either what was a silly or trite answer to the question, or I would just move on without ever having really grappled with my answers. The truth of the matter is, I didn't know how to handle the question. I think it is true as you get older, it's my experience, that as I get older, you don't have all the time in the world to worry about this anymore. You begin to get a sense of your mortality, which each child that is born for me, which each gaining of a new gray hair, with each new injury that I wake up with in the morning, can I get an amen to that? I begin to more seriously deal with the fact that there is an end. There is an end to my time here on this earth. And the older you get, I think, the very more you realize that the possibility of death, the certainty of death, is closer and closer. But we want to know what the future holds. We should want to know what the future holds. And the Scripture is clear. And so let me read it for you one more time so that we can have clarity on this matter. For we died, we being Christians, we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And if you were in your own Bible this morning, I know it's Easter, most of you don't have your Bibles out, but if you did, I would say underline that. Underline that. That is so important. Now we also may live new lives. Now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. And I would tell you to underline that if you were in your Bible this morning. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. And those, brothers and sisters, are incredible words. It is a promise unlike any other. It is an amazing promise. There are two key answers to life's questions found in that text. First, we learn that there are significant answers to what we can do right now. I think as we grapple with this question, we fail to realize its significant effect on the present. That when we encounter the peace that comes from accepting Christ to moving into life in Christ, that our life changes immediately. That our life is better now. That a life dedicated to serving God and defeating sin is the most satisfying life you can pursue. And I think most of us outside of the church don't see it that way at all. We think that is the least satisfying life that we can pursue. But Scripture and my own personal experience and the experience of thousands and millions of Christians is that it changes your life now when you follow Christ. And I realize today, if you're here with doubts about that, there is likely little I can do to convince you by the strength of my words of the power of Christ's resurrection. It's very little I can do for you personally. But I do want to assure you that no other religious leader has an empty tomb. That of all the disciples, only one lived out his entire natural life. And he finished his life in exile, prisoned on an island. They could have recanted at any time. You realize many of those disciples not only died as a result of their belief, but went out of their way to seek out their martyrdom, to share their faith in Jesus Christ. If it was a lie, all they had to do was at any point say, no, that was a lie. Didn't believe any of it. And they could have walked away alive. But they did not. They chose death rather than any form of lying because they knew the truth was that Jesus Christ was alive. That He was crucified on a cross, He was in a tomb for 3 days, and that He came to life again, and they saw Him. And so they could tell no other story, and they died as a result. Each one of them lived out their last days, knowing that if they stopped teaching Christ, they could live, and not one chose that path. What more evidence do we have? Is there more evidence? How about hundreds of eyewitnesses that saw Jesus Christ after the resurrection? They saw Him and they reported it and they talked to one another. If it was false, where are the documents denying the tale? There are none. The only documents we have denying the resurrection come hundreds and hundreds of years later, not from eyewitnesses. Yet we have documents today that were in existence that time in the world's history that proclaim His death and resurrection. This is all very important because it puts into context the important work of Christ to come to save us. If you don't believe that is true today, I can't make you believe it. But I can pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart and teach you indeed that our Lord is risen. More so, we are taught through this experience just how important we are. Not you individually so much, but we as human beings. We as the creation of God. You see, we are not just creatures. We are creatures with spirits. We are eternal in our spiritual nature. You see, humanity is the pinnacle of creation. And it's proven in the fact that God's own Son comes to earth. You realize if Jesus did nothing else but come to earth and exist, He has shown how incredibly important humanity is. The very act of God taking on human flesh establishes the value of the human life. Do you see it? If He came and then just left again without dying, that would teach us how important we were. But even more so, He came and He taught us how to live. And so even more, raising the esteem, the importance, the value of humanity by teaching us personally, living among us, experiencing what we experience. But God didn't stop there. For God sent His own Son to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In other words, God's Son died. Not only did He leave the glories of heaven to live in the dust of earth, not only did He leave the courts of heaven where all understood the splendor of God and teach in the dust of earth, but He allowed humanity to kill Him. This is the value that you bear. This is the power of the Imago Dei, the image of God in your life. You, brothers and sisters, are cherished deeply by our Heavenly Father. For He chose to allow His Son to die in our place. In this event, it proves the importance of our flesh, of our humanity, certainly. But it also proves our eternal value. Paul in 1 Corinthians speaks of the matter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 and following. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined. And to each kind of seed, He gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly body is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly body is another. So you are the pinnacle of creation right now. And you are cherished by God. But His promise to you in Christ is not only how important humanity is on earth, and that should change the way you live now. His promise to you in Christ is just like Christ. When you die, there will be a resurrection of the body. And there will be no brokenness in it. There will be no list for cancer patients in heaven, brothers and sisters. There will be no list for ongoing physical and spiritual needs on any prayer list in heaven. In fact, there will be no need for the prayer list as we see it in heaven. The only prayer list in heaven will be prayers of praise for the Almighty God who has risen us in our new, resurrected, glorified bodies. We will be, brothers and sisters, as we were always meant to be. You see, as amazing as human beings are now, they will be more amazing when we are resurrected on the last day. God has promised a perfect future body. Key verse this week: don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Jesus has gone ahead, he says. I'm going ahead. I'm preparing a place for you. And it's an amazing story. It's an amazing blessing. Because we realize through the story of the Scripture that we are loved. We realize that God has sent His own Son. We see that His Son came and taught us. We see that His Son died for us. And then the story gets bigger and it gets deeper. As the Son proclaims to the church, "You are my bride. You are my bride." Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride, the glorious Israel that we read of in Scripture. In other words, as Romans 8, and I'm just sampling through Romans 8, if you have been predestined, you will be called. If you are called, you will be justified. And if you are justified, brothers and sisters, you will be glorified. Not only is your life changed now, but your eternal life is secured by Christ's resurrection. Christ is preparing a place for His bride. He says in Matthew 24:36, "No one knows the hour or the day of my return. Not the angels in heaven, not the Son. Only my Father knows." And it's this amazing thing that Christ is doing, because the life of Christ is also a parable. He is teaching us something. You see, in Israel, the groom and the father go and they seek a betrothal. And they find a bride. And everything's agreed upon. And then the groom and the father leave the bride with her family. And they go back to their house. It's called an insula. It's a place where you're insulated from the troubles of the world. An insula. And in that house, there are many rooms. One for each family, you see. And this new family needs a room. And so the father and the son start to build the room for the new family. They add on to the house so that they all can be together. And then the father looks around one day and he says, "It's done. You may go and get your bride." And so the groom, they blow the shofar, the people come forward, they go to the village where the bride is, they get her, they bring her back, and in the courtyard of that insula, they hold a wedding. And it lasts for days. And there's a feast. And they celebrate. And then they move into their new room in the insula, where they learn to live in community together. Now think about all you know about Scripture. And think about that story, and suddenly your mind should go, wow. Jesus has prepared a room for me. That where He goes, I may go also. That where He goes, I will go and I will live there as if I'm His bride. And we will live there in heaven, not in giant mansions scattered all over the landscape as we sing in some of our favorite hymns. But rather in a tight community of loving people. And for those of you who think, ooh, tight community, can't take it. Perfect people. Who will not sin anymore, who will not undercut you, who will not hurt you, who will not wound you, but wonderful people that you want to live with. And you will be so centered around Christ, because instead of a courtyard in the middle, there will be a throne, and on the throne will be Christ, and we will not need lamps anymore, because He will light the city in which we all dwell. And brothers and sisters, it will be glorious. And that's your future promise in Christ. And if that doesn't improve your life right now, I don't know what to do for you. Because that is awesome news. It should give you confidence to live in ways that you've never dreamed of. A confidence to overcome pain and suffering that you never imagined you could deal with. Because Christ has loved you with a singular love throughout the centuries. You have been chosen. As a chosen people, you will be called. And as a called people, your sins will be forgiven, you will be justified. And as a justified people, I proclaim to you from the very mouth of God in His Scriptures that you will be glorified, that indeed you will rise again. And that you will be perfected on the last day. This is the truth that we are taught. That is your choice. If you as the bride choose to go with the groom, there's another choice that you can make. This one's in Ezekiel 16, verse 13. You were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was honey, olive oil, and the finest flour. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the Sovereign Lord. But you trusted in your beauty and used your fame and became a prostitute. You lavished your favors on anyone who passed by, and your beauty became his. And to that bride, the Scripture says, woe to you. What sorrow awaits you, as it says in the New Living Translation. We all get to make the choice which type of bride we will be. The type that depends upon their own strength, their own beauty, their own works, or the bride chosen by God, called, justified by God, glorified by God. If God is calling you, respond to His call. It will change your life now. It will change your future forever. For those who have chosen, receive great peace beyond all understanding. Choose this day who you will follow. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us pray.